I'm joined today by Valerie Getz, the creative force behind Native Works LLC, a Southern arts business in Gainesboro, Tennessee. Welcome, Valerie.
Well, thank you very much, Tiffany. I'm glad to be here.
Awesome. Well, tell me a little bit about what Native Works is.
We are primarily a pottery company that makes artifact reproductions for museum sites and gift items.
Sounds very interesting. Not just a gift store, not just a pottery studio. Let's touch on this making replica artifacts for museums.
I started this business in 1999, and I originally was just doing wood carving. And wood carving is just about completely dropped out of our venue. Mm. And I would visit some of the mound builder sites that we have across the country. And as I did, I would start incorporating those designs into the things that I was carving, and didn't realize there would be a market for that. And there was.
Not at all. So you're an artist kind of through and through. Is that what you would say you are? Is that, you know, in your deep down bones of things, that's just who you are?
In my deep down bones, yes. Yeah. But, you know, education wise, I'm an isotope geochemist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep. So my story goes that back in 1999, I had gotten to the point where I hated my job so much that at the end of Friday, it would take until noon on Saturday before I would become a human being. Mm. And then by Sunday at noon, I was building up so much tension and so much frustration and anger about having to go back to work. I was, you know, the human being had left by noon on Sunday.
So, and you were having 24 hours of a weekend to de-stress.
That's right. And so I finally went to my tribal elders, and they said, we see something in you that you're not doing. And they said, we would like for you to concentrate on the traditional Native American arts. Mm. And so
did you have any background with that? Did you have...
Well, as a child, I was taught to make pine needle baskets, but no, I really don't have any art background whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So this has been a real adventure.
Prior to 1999, did you feel like would you have labeled yourself an artist at that time at all?
No, I would not have.
Not even a little?
Not even a little.
And so the wood carving, where did that, was that kind of just a pastime for you, something to kind of do to de-stress, to kind of connect with nature?
Actually, it was a husband and wife thing to do. We were living in Ohio. Ohio is cold. Mm-hmm. We're both Southerners, you know, to the bone. And so being trapped inside with ice and snow, we had to find something to do.
Yeah.
So we came up with this wood carving class, and I was the only girl in the class. Can you believe that?
Probably in 1999, I could easily believe that. So you kind of found a passion and a love at that time. What was the transition to pottery and ceramics?
Well, in 2000, I was invited to come to the Birmingham International Arts Festival. And I was actually just making a pine needle basket just out of boredom because I didn't want to be sitting there carving with knives and have people around me. Mm-hmm. And so I was working on a pine needle basket, and people kept trying to buy it out of my hands. And I didn't value pine needle baskets at that point in time. And so I didn't think there would even be a demand.
You were taught as a kid, right? So
right.
You probably have a little bit of like, this is just a kid thing.
Exactly. So as I started making pine needle baskets, I was volunteering at Park and Mound in Arkansas. And I was helping excavate a home site where I found a piece of daub, which is the clay on the side of the house, that had been pressed with wildflowers. And I got the idea from that to incorporate clay into my basketry. But I had never worked with clay before, so I had to figure that out. Mm-hmm. I had to learn.
Yeah.
And so, you know, one thing led to another, to another, to another. And it's been building blocks the whole time.
So clearly there's more, you know, being at an artifact site, doing, uncovering, you know, pressed flowers into a wall. Clearly you have an interest in history as well, working with museums and replicating artifacts. That's not something you hear every day that somebody is interested in or even can know they can make a business out of that.
Well, yeah, and you're absolutely right. I had taken some of my baskets to one mound site, and the
How do you even get involved in finding a mound site? Do you have a Native American heritage?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
yes, I do.
So you were raised in a Native American village, or
no? Not
tell me
at
a,
all.
A little bit about your upbringing. Or, you know, somebody teaching you how to make pine needle baskets. That's not something, again, that's, you know, real mainstream. And
well, traditionally, our people, you don't learn from your mother. You learn from your aunt or your grandmother. And so I had an aunt that had kind of adopted me out as far as learning the pine needle basketry. It's funny. Kids never listen to their parents.
No, so, you're right.
You know, that's the reason.
And the cool aunt is way easier.
Very much so. She had so much more patience with me than my mother ever did.
Yes.
And so, yes, I was raised with what I would call a more subtle culture. Uh-huh. Not living in what you would call a traditional tribal environment, but more of a family environment. And a lot of that had to do with the Jim Crow laws of the time period whenever I was growing up.
Yeah, and then just keeping that heritage alive, I guess, as you know, are interested in going to mound sites. And, you know, have you always been interested in the history and aspect? You know, the 20-year-old Valerie, she was going to be a chemist.
That's absolutely right. I divorced my Native American heritage, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Basically because, you know, at the time period, I didn't want to be recognized as that. I didn't want to be labeled. Mm-hmm. And so particularly getting into the field of isotope geochemistry, back in that time period, there were only 5 girls in the whole department, and that's including the PhD and master's candidates. Mm. And I went to Florida State University.
So it wasn't like you were in a small school.
No, that's exactly right. So
do you think you were interested in the chemistry aspect, or do you think you wanted to buck the system?
I wanted to buck the system.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love rocks and everything else, and I tell you what, like I said, that everything has been a step. The knowledge that I gained from the chemistry and the rocks helps me in pottery. I know where to look for clay. I know how to mix the glazes. I know what chemicals are going to work together and why there's a problem when it doesn't. Mm. And so it's been just a whole building block. So, you know, anytime you wind up taking a job or doing something that you really don't like, it puts you in a good place for something else.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is life is not about a bunch of just little, you know, islands. It's or silos. It's definitely a journey, and there's a path, and each little thing takes you. You don't always know exactly where your path is going to take you, but what happened 5 years ago is going to affect something today. And so kind of keeping that all together. And that's probably a little bit was influenced on you from the Native American heritage, I'm guessing, of just kind of that journey of everything. And probably early in your career, you were like, I don't want to be part of that.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Yeah. I want to leave that behind. So what brought the business to Tennessee? You mentioned that you started kind of interested in art when you were living in Ohio and looking at doing wood carving. Then how did you get to Tennessee?
Well, from Ohio, we moved to Arkansas because my husband worked for mercantile stores, and they got bought out by Dillard's. And so we spent 22 years in Arkansas while my husband worked there. And that's when I really became familiar with a lot of the mound sites, because Arkansas, like Tennessee, has a very rich, ancient Native American culture.
Hmm.
Very, very rich. And But in 2020, when COVID hit, well, we decided that since we're getting older, maybe we should be closer to family. We have a daughter that is also part of the business, and she lives in Covington, Kentucky, a son that lives in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and a son that lives outside of Seattle, Washington, on the Tulalip Reservation.
So we're going to get him back on the list. Yeah. But so he's living on a reservation.
Yes, he is.
So he did not need to buck the system, and he kind of ran towards it a little bit more.
Well, that and the reservation offers a unique opportunity to lease land. So that's what he's taking advantage of in that area.
So you came to Gainesboro and started this. When did NativeWorks actually start and actually really get born?
1999.
Oh, so it's been
26 years. That's right.
Wow.
And the funny thing is, once we moved to Tennessee, the Arkansas business just blew up. I mean, we picked up, within the first year being in Tennessee, 5 new customers in Arkansas. Mm. And so we're just now starting to establish a footprint here in Tennessee. We have two customers in Memphis, Chuckalisa Indian Village, and T.O. Fuller State Park. We have Pinson Mound in Jackson, Tennessee. And then we have 2 new customers, Dunbar Cave and Port Royal in Clarksville.
Well, and I'm guessing just kind of making your way to finding the right people has got to be a journey in itself, of finding the right customers for something that's unique. This is not, you know, your average pottery that you're just going to, you know, drink a cup of coffee out of every day. We'll be right back. Stick with us. We're here this morning with Valerie Goetz from NativeWorks. So the big thing, you know, we were just talking off air, your customers are mainly gift shops. And very unique Native American type gifts that people are looking for. This isn't your average, you know, a white ceramic mug that just says, you know, it's fall, y'all. You know, it's very specific for the Native American culture. Is that correct?
Well, not only the Native American culture, but because we do a lot of other things too. Right now, one of our big customers is a nonprofit in Arkansas that deals with homeless people that are schizophrenic. Mm. And art makes a huge difference in their behavior. So we're actually making mugs that they can glaze and finish for them.
Like almost like a kit.
Almost like a kit, exactly, exactly. And a lot of things that kind of encourage them with little mental health sayings and things like that.
I'm guessing when you go from, you know, a corporate job where you're a chemist and you're, you know, doing what you think is big things, and then you go into the arts, it's hard to think, can I make a living? You mentioned that you had 3 children. Can I make a living enough to raise my family and support things on an art business? Was there even though you were burned out and you're like, I got to do something, was there a fear factor of going in and saying, this is going to make my life a lot happier, and so I'm going to put every effort into this business?
There absolutely was. We had 3 children, all either in college or approaching college. And, there was a whole lot of terror going on and a lot of fear in will we be able to make this work? But we have. Mm-hmm. We have. And a lot of it, I think, is because we do think outside the box. While we started with wood carving, we migrated to the pine needle basketry, and we've had some very unique situations to gain notoriety through all of the things that we've done. I can remember like it was yesterday being at an event and a couple coming up to me and said they were with the Royal Art and History Museum in Brussels, Belgium, and asking me if they could buy a piece to put on exhibition. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have those opportunities that while you do have a lot of downtime where you're just doing the mundane or the coffee mug, about, yeah, you know, a couple hundred of them,
yeah,
to those moments where it gets to be pretty exciting, some good things happening.
So you're still hand making all the pottery, ceramics that you work with. You mentioned you take custom orders, and you currently, you know, as of record time, it's about 6 weeks that you have a deadline, and you have, I think you said it was 777 pieces that you have to hand make, mm-hmm, and your studio's in your backyard in Gainesboro, Tennessee. That, you got a lot of work, and you have three employees.
That's
there's
right.
Three of you.
You're just three of us.
There's, yes, three of you. Why not think of outsourcing this and finding, you know, a factory grade that can still, you know, work with you in a way that's, that you could, I mean, you could have your production so much higher. You could maybe sleep a little bit in the next 6 weeks. Like, what's the thought process of keeping it the way you're doing this?
My customers buy me as much, mm-hmm, as they buy the art.
Mm-hmm.
They know when they buy that piece that it hadn't been manufactured in China, that I'm going to make each piece specific for them and for their needs.
Mm-hmm.
And the vision and the skill that goes into making that hand piece is not something that you can just teach to somebody else. That's why we've been keeping it just family. And when the, trust me, when the grandkids come, let me tell you, they work in the studio. They do.
Do you ever get a big order that comes in and, oh, it's time to get the grandkids here. We got to get them in so that we have workers on hand.
Well, my daughter does that. Yes, she, mm-hmm, does. She pulls her child and husband into the studio and says, you do this, this, and this.
Yeah.
But yeah, right now, we have a total of five kilns that we operate between her and us, and we've got kilns going every day, every day.
Yeah, I'm sure. How has that been? I mean, I'm sure there's that when you're working with businesses and gift shops that have larger orders, I'm sure there's been times where you have had to say no and say, You're looking like you don't ever say no. Valerie!
No, I'm sorry. That word's not in my vocabulary.
So you always just figure it out.
We just figure it out. We do.
That's crazy. Because, I mean, you know, some of the bigger gift shops, I'm sure they have higher orders than, you know, a littler, you know, a campground might have, you know, 5 to 10 pieces that they're, or, you know, but a major, you know, high trafficked place may have a lot, a couple hundred or something. And so how have you over, I mean, we're getting to be almost 30 years in business. What you, mm-hmm, said, 26 years, right?
26 years.
You know, 26 years in business. How have you figured out how to be able to scale, but still be you, Valerie, as the business?
I work 7 days a week. 365 days
a year. We're lucky you're here right now. Spending some time with us.
Yep. And I'm sure that if that, well, we did have a customer that came to us and wanted 200 mugs by November, their custom logo and everything else. And when I gave them the price, and that could be the deterrent,
mm-hmm,
is because you can get mass production. You can go to Dollar General and you can buy a mug that is way cheaper than, mm-hmm, what I'm going to make. I can't even buy the materials to make that mug that they sell at Dollar General,
yeah,
for that price.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes I think that is what keeps us from being any bigger than what we are.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's been a journey, though, just kind of figuring out, you know, the right people to work with, the right contacts. Where do you think, was there a moment where you realize, oh, people know who Valerie Goetz is. People know what this art is. And this isn't, it is a business, but it is still art. And having that, you know, personalized touch to it is still important. But realizing this is going to be able to help support my family. And this is going to be something that I can do long term. And it's going to make it past 2000 and 2001 and 2020. It's going to make it past all those times. Was there a turning point where you thought this is going to make it? Or I have made it?
Well, there have been moments in our history where I have had to go back out and take that job, mm-hmm. you know, it hasn't been easy. Mm-hmm. But it's also knowing that what I have and what I'm doing is going to work and that there's always a customer for it. Back in the early days, I want to say probably about 2004, I did 12 pen and ink on skin. These were goat skin pieces that I actually cut my own turkey feathers into pins and did a, you know, pen and ink drawing. And the feather was with the drawing. Well, this past May, I actually had someone who had found my piece. I don't know exactly all of the details of how it came about, but she reached out to me, and she treasured that piece. She let me know that she had gotten this and how excited she was that she had one of my pieces.
We'll be right back with Valerie from Native Works. Thanks for sticking with us this morning. We are talking with Valerie Goetz from Native Works in Gainesboro, Tennessee. So, you are an artist. Would you say you're a business owner first or an artist first?
Artist first.
An artist first. And so how do you keep that business aspect of making sure you're coming up with good products or even, you know, trying different mediums and trying, you know, different techniques? And how do you kind of keep a balance of both?
You know, I think that's where my other two partners come in. My daughter spent 8.5 years managing production and design for an American company in China before she moved back to Kentucky. And between her and my husband's retail experience, even though he was more on the engineering side, they help keep me balanced because I can chase rabbits really quick.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, and we kind of mentioned that before we started recording, often artists will say, well, you know, I live the way I feel. And there's just a little bit more, you know, in tune with nature, not in a bad way. But when you have over 700 pieces that you have to finish in the next 6 weeks, you can't really be as in tune to nature as you might want to, because you do have to put that business owner hat on and you have some deadlines that you have to fulfill. Has that been, is that difficult for you at times?
Yes, it is, because sometimes I really get tired of production. Yeah. You know, when you're have just finished making 96 mugs or 125 bowls, and yes, you're sitting there going, I want to do something fun for a change.
Yeah. So speaking of fun, you have a piece that's going in at the Frist Museum in Nashville. So tell me about that.
Well, this is going to be something that is going to be a little divergent from anything else I've ever done. It is a fiber arts piece where I'm actually incorporating a little bit of my pottery into the piece. And it is a traditional Native American design. It is Mississippian, and it is a Florida panther.
And what inspired you to kind of go stretch yourself to that and do something new?
Well, through our nonprofit organization, I've made all kinds of friends, and I have a friend who's 80 years old who doesn't take no for an answer.
Well, because
you already, you know, no, I don't say no. So she actually challenged me to do this. Mm-hmm. And that's how we got started on this project.
And do you find that you like that expansion of yourself? You like kind of trying new things? And I feel like artists usually do kind of like...
You know, I'm going to turn 70 this year, and there's still a lot of things I want to try. Mm-hmm. I want to try it all before the clock is ticked out.
Yeah. Well, and how do you even find... So having most of your clients be business owners, how do you find, you know, the businesses that are right to work with? Are at this point, have you made a name enough for yourself that people more come to you than you go to them?
I believe that is correct. More people come to me than I go to them. With the new state parks that we've picked up, it's because they've seen my work at one of the other state parks. And so that's been a real positive. Or that I have a gallery in Hot Springs, Arkansas, that carries my work, and she does a phenomenal job.
Yeah, I'm guessing at 70 years old, you're not trying to go out and beat down doors to sell your products. You know, that's, you know, especially when you also have to be fulfilling orders a lot of the time. You've just kind of been able to have the cycle go. And like I said, make the name for yourself. And so people know who you are and know what your works are and are able to kind of hunt you down.
That's true. And I think we also take the philosophy that every order gets hand delivered. Mm-hmm. And I believe that face-on-face time with your customers is extremely important. It's a good time for me to see how my work is being displayed, what is selling and what is not. Also to find out one-on-one and just chatting, what are their ideas? What would they like to see me do? What would they like to try in the gift shop? Or if it is one of the museums, what do they want to put on exhibition? And so that has been a huge key. Plus, we've experienced that pottery does not always ship well.
Mm, yeah.
And there's nothing that aggravates a customer worse than to opening up a package and finding it broken.
Yeah. So you said that somebody from Brussels had contacted you. Did you deliver a piece to Brussels?
Well, actually, they bought it there on site and took
it with
them.
And they took it with them. Yeah, what's the most unique or interesting location or place that you've been able to deliver your works to?
Oh, gosh. We have several places that have been abroad that we have delivered pieces to. When my daughter was living in China, there were several factory owners that we delivered pieces to. So it was a unique experience.
Yeah, so, I'm sure. Well, and what about the museum aspect of how do you find the right products that will fit into the feel of what's going on at that museum? I'm sure there's a lot of different types of museums that you're working with. How do you kind of find the right, you know, the right fit for things?
Trial and error. There's a lot of that. You know, the St. Louis Art Museum a couple of years ago did an exhibition of Native American work. And so we supplied the gift shop with a lot of product. And, you know, some pieces worked better and sold faster than others. And within, I would deliver an order, in less than 3 weeks, she would be asking for another order and another order. But it was good to trace what product line that was moving and what price range. That's another thing, is asking the customer, how much do people usually buy when they come into your shop? Do they usually spend $20? Do they spend $50? Mm-hmm. You know, what is the average sale?
Which is probably not something when you just started doing art, you know, wood carving, to think about the customer needs and the customer, you know, you probably weren't, you know, has that just been years of doing this that you now know how to ask those questions and how to work with the shop owners better?
In part, some of that, and then some of it is some of the other jobs I've had before I came to this one.
Yeah. So you're able to be... With this, you're able to kind of lean into your Native American heritage. It seems as though you've now, your kids have leaned into that. You kind of were saying in your 20s, you wanted to go, get a corporate job, maybe leave that behind. How do you think that your journey has impacted your children and now your grandchildren of, no, this is what our heritage is. This is where we've come from. This is why it's important. And it seems like they're not trying to leave it behind as much as maybe you felt a little bit when you were in your 20s.
Well, unfortunately, the grandchildren are not nearby. So, you know, it's difficult for me to assess how much it has impacted them.
Yeah.
You know, there are always good questions. And good conversations that we have regularly mm-hmm. that we can kind of address, well, you know, this is the way you're thinking this, mm-hmm. you know, this is the way it, mm-hmm. it works, or this is my grandson and I just recently got into quite the conversation over what he was learning in high school as opposed to, no, that's not the way that should be interpreted.
Yeah, well, and I think that that's, it is something that, you know, you learn about the way America was founded and you learn about Native Americans, and but it's very textbooky, like you said, and having that heritage, or even, you know, my family, my even up to my father is 100% Polish. And so, and I have a friend that has a son that's in the army in Poland right now. And I'm like, that's so cool. Like I want to, because I know nothing about mm-hmm. that heritage. And so bringing that back in, you're able to kind of say, well, here's really, you know, what you should know. And here's really, mm-hmm. and I think we are having a swing where people aren't as like, I just want to fit in, and people want to know, no, this is who I am, and this is what my blood says I am, and this is, you know, let's lean into that instead of run away from it. And it's obviously provided you, you know, opportunities in business because of that heritage that you've grown up with, and it's you're able to kind of lean into that even as a business owner.
Well, and we try not to do that. We try not to have that who we are. Mm-hmm. We're actually working very hard to say, yes, this is our background, but mm-hmm. we don't want to be treated any differently than any other business. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to be viewed as a reputable family business.
Yeah.
That's important. And, you know, when you were talking about history in the history books, just remember that history is always written by the winners, not the losers.
Yeah, yes, that's
so there's
very
always
true.
That different
so if people want to see any of your works, how can they check you out? How could they, you know, place a custom order if they're interested in that?
Facebook is a great resource. We do a tremendous amount of custom work for people who own horses. We can use their horsetail hair, just a little bit of it, and create a beautiful piece with that. That's what's in the bag, by the way.
And so what is that Facebook page that people can find you at?
They can find us at Native Works.
Native Works. And pictures of your pieces are up there, too. Is there a way to follow along with your art journey and not just, you know, if they want to order something, but if they want to just see your talent out there in the world?
Facebook would be that place right now where our website is under construction right at the
and
moment.
And I'm guessing there's probably a way to just Google your name.
Yeah, and you could probably do that, too.
And so you're Valerie Goetz, but it's G-O-E-T-Z is how you spell your last name. And so people could probably just, if they're interested in what you're doing and all the beautiful work that you've had, or they can check out the Frist Museum from September through...
September 25th through October 20th.
October 20th. So they, if you're in the Nashville area and you want to go check out Valerie's piece, go ahead and check out there. Thank you, Valerie, so much for coming in today. And I hope you get all those orders done in the next 6 weeks.
Me too.